This morning, I will not rant and rave. I will not run across the platform, but I will guarantee you what I'm going to teach this morning will be revolutionary, and it will save somebody's life. There's no doubt in my mind, none. No doubt at all. The sermon this morning is a two-part sermon. If it would help for me to get on my hands and knees and beg, I would beg of you, don't be satisfied in hearing the first half. Some of you desperately need what I'm about to say, and you need to be back this evening to hear the second half of the sermon. This sermon is a life or death type of a sermon. I have had this sermon prepared for many, many months. I was waiting for the strategic moment when I felt that God would have me to preach it. And no doubt in my mind, as even things have fallen out this morning, it is the perfect morning and the perfect time for it. Once you hear it, I think you ought to get the CD, some of you, and you need to listen to it over and over and over again. Some of you need to get this CD. You need to get it with a right spirit and give it to a friend, because you're going to have friends that are going to need what I'm going to teach. The sermon that I'll preach this morning and this evening, it's going to make the difference as to whether or not you stay married. I think the sermon that I'm going to preach this morning is going to make the difference whether or not you stay at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church or you stay in Martinsburg Christian Academy. It's going to make a difference as to whether or not you stay a functioning part of Christianity. Every leader here, I want you to listen to me this morning, because if you're a leader that will undergo any attack at all of Satan, you will need what I'm going to say if you plan to survive it. I won't preach hard. And I know we're weary, and I know the humidity's high, and I know we've had a long week, and there are visitors scattered throughout the auditorium that may not know how to behave during church, but I want everybody to pay attention and realize somebody must have what's said this morning. Therefore, we've got to lock in. We've got to concentrate. Let's let God do some big business in this auditorium this morning. The title of my sermon this morning is this: A Wounded Spirit. A Wounded Spirit. I have to admit, I am so excited. I am so excited about what I'm going to say to you this morning and this evening. I like rousing sermons. I like preaching hard and rough and tough, but I'll tell you, there's nothing I enjoy more than loving people and helping people. This morning, if you came to be helped, you will be helped. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? A wounded spirit, who can bear? Let me take us, if I could please, to the passage of Scripture that we read together this morning in 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to refer to it. The Bible, here's the story. The great Old Testament hero named Elijah was used by God. He was used by God to perform 8 supernatural miracles. If you went in the Bible, you would find there are 8 miracles that God used Elijah to perform. Elijah, in the passage we read this morning, is about to be taken to heaven, and he knows it. He has a loyal assistant by the name of Elisha. There's Elijah with a J and Elisha with an SH in there. This loyal assistant, Elisha, is with Elijah. Elijah says to Elisha, "Stay here, I'm going to the other side of the Jordan River." Elisha says, "I'm going with you. I will not leave thee." Elijah took his mantle and he smote the Jordan. You say, what's that mantle? It had been a big old piece of cloth, like a big heavy overcoat, if you will. Elijah took his mantle and he smote the Jordan River, and the water parted, and they both walked across on dry ground. You talk about a miracle occurrence. That's enough to preach on right there. Elijah turns to his loyal, faithful assistant and says, "Hey, Elisha, I'm going to heaven soon. What in the world? What could I do for you? You're always right there and you're always wanting to serve me. What could I do for you?" And it's an amazing thing what Elisha says to Elijah. Elisha's answer is, "Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." That's found in verse number 9 of the passage that we read earlier. It said, "Let a double," and this is the exact words, "let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." So Elijah has asked Elisha, "What can I do for you? I'm about to go to heaven." And Elisha says, "Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." This is not a request for the Holy Spirit. It was a request for Elijah's spirit. You see, Elijah had a spirit. We all do. And he's saying, you give me a double portion of your spirit. Or maybe another way of saying it, hey, I'd like to have a double portion of your attitude. Elijah had a wonderful spirit about him. So wonderful that Elisha realized it was a big part of why God used Elijah. So when Elijah said, what do you want? Elisha said, your attitude or your spirit is so phenomenal, I would like to have a double portion of your spirit. Elijah was saying, and this is what Elijah said. Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Elijah says, if you see me when I'm taken up from you, actually, the quote is, if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so. In other words, if you see me when God comes to take me up, then your request is going to take place. And wonderful thing, Elisha does see Elijah translated to heaven. For those of you that don't know the Bible, God came and snatched Elijah up and took him to heaven, but Elisha was right there to see it happen. What's the big deal? Well, the promise had been if Elisha would see Elijah when he went to heaven, that his request of a double portion of Elijah's spirit would come to pass. So Elisha wanted to be right there, and he was right there. Elisha then does receive a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Remember, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit now. This was about the spirit of Elijah. So Elisha does receive this double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elisha then, if you know anything about the ministry of Elisha, you remember earlier I told you Elijah had done 8 supernatural miracles. In the story of Elisha's ministry, do you know how many supernatural miracles he did? 16. Exactly double. Now, let me point out a mistruth here. Elisha does double the miracles. Elisha received a double dose of Elijah's spirit. But and you know what? He may have received a double dose of the Holy Spirit, but I believe he asked for a double dose of Elisha's spirit. Now, Elijah, though, let me explain. Elijah had a time of a wounded spirit. There was a time in the life and ministry of Elijah, he had a wounded spirit. 1 Kings chapter 19, what had happened is Elijah had gone to battle with some false prophets and he had to slay them all. After this battle, he ran and he hid. He went in 1 Kings 19, he hid by a brook and he hid under a juniper tree. And Queen Jezebel was so mad at him, she threatened, she said, you killed all my false prophets, Elijah, and I am going to make sure by sunset you are dead. And this mighty, powerful man of God named Elijah, who had just slain 450 false prophets, ran from a woman. He ran and he hid and he went under this tree. He was out in the middle of nowhere and he was hiding. He was so depressed. He was so despondent. He was so down. He's under that tree. He's bummed out. He says, oh, there's nothing for me in life and everything's gone and I just wish I was dead. Wait a minute. This man had slain 450 false prophets. He outran a chariot to Jezreel. He had called down fire from the sky. Now he's hiding and he's depressed. Just so y'all know, anytime you've experienced a great victory in life, there can be a letdown. So let's make sure that the old PAS conference, we don't have a letdown. We're going to have a get up. But now Elijah's underneath a juniper tree. He's depressed. He said, nobody out there stands like I stand. Nobody out there. This woman's chasing after me. She's going to kill me. He's down and he's depressed. Now let me explain something. I do not see any place in the scripture where Elisha had a wounded spirit. But I can take you to 1 Kings 19 where Elijah did have a wounded spirit. Elijah was used for 8 miracles. Elisha was used for 16 miracles. And we might say that was because of a double dose of Holy Spirit, and it might be. But he did not ask for a double dose of Holy Spirit. He asked for a double dose of the Spirit of Elijah. And your spirit has something to do with what God can do with you. Nowhere in the life of Elisha do we see that down, wounded spirit time where he got so down, so depressed that he couldn't even function. Maybe that is why he had a double dose of the blessing of God on his life. Your spirit influences greatly how much God can use you. Not only the Holy Spirit, but your spirit. Your spirit influences how much your spiritual leaders feel they can trust you and use you. John said to a man named Gaius in the New Testament, 3 John chapter 2, John says to this man, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Here, someone's attitude was so healthy. The man of God came along and said, "Boy, I wish your body was as spiritual as your attitude or your spirit is." Yes. Hey, is your body healthy, but is your attitude terminally ill? You say, "I've got a healthy body. How's your spirit?" Good. How healthy is your spirit? Now, if you'll stay with me, I want to teach you about a wounded spirit. First of all, may I start out by saying man is made of three parts. Man is made up of three parts. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, the Bible says this, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now, notice it uses the word, "let us make man in our image." Those words are plural, us and our. This is back at the time of creation. Before man was ever created, somebody said, "Let us create man in our image." That us and our, that is the Godhead, that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit talking about the creation of man. So God the Father said to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, "Let us make man in our image." You see, our God is a three-part God. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three parts make up one God. You say, "Brother Owens, explain that." Don't want to explain it. Can't explain it. Just want to believe it. Because that's what the Bible says. Our God is a three-part God, but He's one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they decided back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, to create man. They were going to create man in the image of God, which means man would be created in three parts. It's a little bit like the egg. The egg has a shell, a white, and a yolk, but it's one egg. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are three parts, but there is one God. But man is made up of three parts. Man has a body, man has a soul, and man has a spirit. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7 says, "God formed man of the dust of the ground." There's the shell of man, that's the body. Then we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the last half of it, it says, "And man became a living soul." There's the soul. That's the white of the egg, if you will. Then finally in Romans 8:16, the Bible says, "The Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit, "itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." There's a third part of man, his spirit. That is the yolk of the egg. My body is a shell. My soul is the white. But my spirit is on that inside of me. And we are a three-part man. And let me say, you need to keep all three parts of you healthy. All three parts of you have to be kept healthy. How? Hey, how healthy is what's going on inside you? There's all sorts of people that can look good on the outside, but inside they're full of anger and hatred and bitterness and jealousy and wrath and clamor. You're to keep the inside of you healthy, not just the outside. Some of you, it's a good thing you have such good people skills. You didn't just talk to people on the outside, be so friendly and kind all the time while you're hating someone standing right beside them. You are to keep the inside of you healthy as well. So, man is made of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Why? Because man was created in the image of God. Number two, we must know the difference between God's spirit and man's spirit. In the scripture, there is definitely a difference. In Romans 8:16, this passage of scripture, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, let me point something out to you. In that scripture, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness." The word spirit there has a capital S. That capital S on the word spirit there, it is capitalized in respect and out of respect to God. That's telling us that is the Holy Spirit. So it says, "The Spirit," capital S, "beareth witness with our spirit," small s. There's a difference. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit and our spirit. You see, that small s is referring to our spirit. That capital S is referring to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, "The Spirit," God's, "beareth witness with our spirit," man's, that we are the children of God. There are other scriptures that refer to the spirit of man. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit," small s, "in faith, in purity." That is Paul saying to Timothy, you have a spirit, Timothy. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4, they refer to a spirit, the same spirit, but it's inside a woman. The Bible says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Hey, we see now, God in the scripture has referred to a man having a spirit, and the same spirit inside a woman, and that spirit is different than the Holy Spirit. Folks, when you read your Bible, please look for the difference between the Spirit of God and the spirit of man, because they are indeed different. When you teach the scripture, make sure you teach properly the difference between the spirit of man and the spirit of God. So first of all, man's made of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. And we have to understand there is a difference between the spirit of God and the spirit of man. Let me say this then. Number three, God the Spirit can be wounded. God the Spirit can be wounded. The Holy Spirit is compared to a dove. The Bible says in Matthew 3:16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Here the Bible's telling us that the Holy Spirit is very sensitive. Did you know, I preached a sermon here a year or so ago called "Don't Spook the Dove." You've got to be very careful with the Holy Spirit of God. You get around a dove can be spooked. That old bird can just take right off on you. You've got to be sensitive. The Holy Spirit of God, if you don't want him around, don't worry. He won't come around. He can be spooked. He can be chased off. He can be, you can kind of scare him to flight. It's not that he's afraid of you. If you don't want him, he doesn't want to be around. And let me warn everybody at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we get to experience the heavenly dove on our church and our church services. We've got to protect that. You got a bad attitude, you either get it fixed or go somewhere else, but don't you destroy the spirit of our church. We've worked hard, and God looks down and he says, "Look at that. Look at those people and the spirit there." God likes that. But you understand, the Spirit of God, there you can chase it away. For instance, did you know the Holy Spirit can be grieved? Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption." I'm telling you, the Spirit of God can be pushed away. The Spirit of God can, virtually the communication between you and him or him and the church can be wounded to where he says, "I'm stepping away." Did you know that you can quench the Spirit of God? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Quench not the Spirit." You see, our behavior can injure his influence upon us. Don't reject or limit his influence on you. Now stay with me. Let me say first of all, I said this, man's made of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Number two, we must see the difference between God's Holy Spirit and the spirit of man. Number three, the Spirit of God can be wounded or pushed away, or you could call it grieved or quenched. Number four, man's spirit can be wounded. Man's spirit can be wounded. First of all, I could wound yours, you could wound mine, but worse yet, you can wound yours. Of course, God's spirit is holy and perfect. Man's spirit is tainted and imperfect. But wait a minute, you've got to remember, he said, let us create man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man's created with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And to some degree, that spirit that you have has certain functions that are a little bit like the Spirit of God. Why? We were created in His likeness. And if the Holy Spirit of God can be pushed away, if the Holy Spirit of God can retract, hey, guess what can happen to you? You can push on your spirit and you can cause your spirit to retract. Hey, if the Holy Spirit of God can be quenched, so can your spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God can be grieved, so can your spirit. The Bible talks about it. For instance, the Bible speaks of a sorrowful spirit. Speaking of Hannah, says in 1 Samuel 1:15, and Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Here's a woman said, I have a sorrowful spirit. Her spirit, her attitude within her was pressed down. Hey, you remember the story of Elijah under a juniper tree, whining and moaning and groaning and under a depression that he shouldn't have been under. Here, Hannah said, she said, I am not. And actually in this passage of scripture, somebody said, look, she's so miserable. You'd think she was depressed and drunk. She said, I'm not drunk. I'm of a sorrowful spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22 that you can have a broken spirit. It says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You listen to me, folks. Some of you are going to ruin your health by your attitude. The Bible says bad attitude ruins your bones. I told Brother Bajent this. Brother Bajent's fighting for his life. He's got cancer. And I told him, we met and we counseled. I said, Brother Bajent, don't watch anything on television. Don't look at all the negatives. We're going to get you all the things that we can to encourage your spirit, make your spirit happy. We got to keep you on topside. Why? If we can get his spirit happy, that'll give him a positive outlook. It will have something to do with his healing. You say, what makes you think that? Because the Bible says so, and I believe the Bible. I think this is the greatest medical book on the face of the earth. And so I say, and so I lent him my Gomer Pyle DVDs. Didn't give them to you, buddy. I don't love you that much. Them are Gomer Pyle. Them are mine. Did you know that you can have a wounded heart? The Bible says in Psalm 109 verse 22, for I am poor and needy and my heart is wounded within me. That is not talking about the physical organ of the heart. It means down inside you, your spirit, your attitude, it's wounded. Something's wrong with it. Men's spirits can be wounded or damaged. Proverbs 18:14, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I have seen people with wounded spirits. There are some sitting in this auditorium today.
That's right.
Notice it says, who can bear? If you let your spirit get to that point, who can bear it?
That's right.
God's saying, you got yourself in a fix. You got yourself down. A wounded spirit would be as serious as a physical heart injury. A wounded spirit is like a vital organ that is bleeding spiritually, and you could bleed to death if you don't fix it. You'll find yourself behaving in ways you never thought you would behave, with attitudes you never thought you would have, in situations you never thought you'd find yourself. Why? You have a wounded spirit. There's something more important than what's going on the outside of you. It's what's going on the inside of you. I've watched people with terrible health on the outside that were fine and dandy on the inside. I've watched others with great health on the outside that have a crummy attitude on the inside, and they are destroying themselves. A wounded spirit. I like this. You got to protect your spirit. An elderly Italian man lay dying in his bed. While suffering the agonies of impending death, he suddenly smelled the aroma of his favorite Italian sprinkle cookies coming up the stairs. Gathering his remaining strength, he lifted himself from the bed. Leaning against the wall, he slowly made his way out of the bedroom. With even greater effort, gripping the railing in both hands, he crawled down the stairs. With labored breath, he leaned against the door frame, gazing into the kitchen. were if it not death agony, he would even thought himself already in heaven. For there spread out upon wax paper on the kitchen table were literally hundreds of his favorite sprinkle cookies. Was it heaven? Or was it one final act of heroic deep love from his devoted Italian wife of 60 years, seeing to it that he would leave this world a happy man with sprinkle cookies right before he passed? Mustering one great final effort, he threw himself toward the table, landing on his knees in crumpled posture. He parched his lips, and they parted. The wondrous taste of the cookie was already in his mouth, seemingly bringing him back to life for a moment. The aged and withered hand trembled on its way to a cookie at the edge of the table when it was suddenly smacked in the back by a spatula and his wife. She said, "Back off! Back off! Those are for the funeral." You got to protect your spirit. Many ever been there? Many a time I've reached for the brownies to be told they were for someone she loved. Every woman knows if you're going to make brownies for the church, you better make them for your house too. Amen. Men, stay with me here. If you're going to make apple pie, you make some for me. If you're going to make fried chicken, you make some for me. I'm a part of the church. I knew I'd get you. Number one, let me remind you that a man is made of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. There is a difference between the Holy Spirit and the spirit of man. The Holy Spirit can be wounded, and so can man's spirit be wounded. Let me give you some signs, and let me explain something, folks. I spend my life with people. People is my life. Yes, sir. It's what I do. Helping people, rebuilding people, trying to salvage people, trying to keep people from self-destructing. But what I'm about to tell you, you're not going to find it in any psychology book. You're not going to find it on the internet from some psychologist. You listen, and I'm going to tell you what the signs of a wounded spirit. And I just have to tell you right now, I'm not going to get all the way through the sermon. In a moment, we're going to shut it down, and I'm going to finish it tonight. And I beg of you, you come back tonight and get what God has for you. It'll save your life. Yes. What are the signs of a wounded spirit? Well, let me explain. A wound hurts. A wound is touchy. A wound is painful. A wound is sensitive. A wound aches. A wound may swell. A wound may throb. Prior to that wound, you could touch the area of the wound, or you could slap the area, but there was no pain. But now it's wounded. You see, you take for instance, you could easily bear a slap, but now that there's a wound, you can't bear the slap. Now the wound weakens your one-time tolerance for pain. And one wound can cause other wounds to hurt. You see, there are some of you, you are hypersensitive today to something you were really tough on a year ago, but what happened? You let your spirit get wounded. Right. And the bruise of that spirit is now affecting you in many aspects of life. And let me tell you something. I should have a wounded spirit, but I do not. Good. My spirit is healthy. I am on top side. Your pastor is not depressed. He's not given up. He's not given up on his church. He's not given up on mankind. He's not given up on America. But I should have a wounded spirit. But I chose not to have a wounded spirit. I don't want to have a wounded spirit. I have made plans not to have a wounded spirit. But what are the signs of a wounded spirit? Well, here's one: a desire to run. Wounded animals want to run and hide. Ask any hunter. Shoot a deer, he's going to run. He's going to burrow in back behind. He'll get up under a bunch of into a thicket. He runs and hides. Hunters, am I right?
Yes, sir.
That's what happens. There's a desire to run. We want to go lick our wounds. A wounded deer will run and hide under a thicket or deep in the woods. I shot a deer this year. I was very disappointed. I shot a deer. I know I hit that deer. I could not find it. I looked. I tell you what, he was in the deepest, darkest thicket. And when the weather and everything broke, I finally found him. Not by seeing him, by smelling him. But when somebody has a wounded spirit, they have a desire to run. Some of you have done that before. You got a wounded spirit and you ran away from God and you ran away from the church. I'm just telling you, this is what happens.
Yes, sir.
They want to start quitting the good things that they do. The minute people start giving up their duties, there is probably a process of a wounded spirit coming. They've either started the process or the process is already underway. They give up good things. Why give up something good because something bad happened to you? That doesn't even make any spiritual sense. But what happens when your spirit is wounded, this is what happens. We have a desire to run. Here's another sign of a wounded spirit. Increased rage and decreased temper control. Now, there's some of you got bad tempers and you don't have a wounded spirit. You just need to control your temper. But along with a wounded spirit, there comes rage. Wounded animals will lash out at you unpredictably. My parents always told me, I was the kind of boy, I was always dragging some stray dog or stray cat home. I mean, every time he turned around, I'd say, "Dad, can I keep it?" No, you can't keep it. Well, what are we going to do with it? I don't know, but you can't keep it. My parents were constantly warning me. My dad would say, "Now, son, you ever go try to help a wounded dog, they're liable to bite you, not because they're mad at you, but they're wounded." Folks, there are some times when people have a wounded spirit, you'll see it. Matter of fact, Hosea chapter 13, verse number 8 says, "I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion, and a wild beast shall tear them." The Bible talks about a bear robbed of her whelps, and she's got a spirit that's wounded, and you better watch out. A wounded bear will attack even the innocent. There's some of you, you've had a wounded spirit and somebody that never did you any harm, somebody that never meant to do you any harm, you tore into them and you hurt them too and they didn't do a thing to you. You see, that's a sign of a wounded spirit. Sign of a wounded spirit is no control over your tongue. You see, quicker than usual, you'll criticize and tear others down. Like a wounded dog barking and making noise. You see, what you once may have thought critically, but would have never spoken, you now lash out and speak without any control. That's a sign of the wound. That wounded spirit cuts loose some things from inside you, and you'll just say what you want and the way you want, and it doesn't matter to you how you affect each other. Whatever happened to propriety? Did you know that everything that's in your heart and mind shouldn't be coming out your mouth? Right. What are the signs of a wounded spirit? Here's another. Increased sensitivity. Somebody with the wounded spirit, they're just hypersensitive to everything. Wearing your feelings on your cuff. Everything offends you. I mean, there are people who say, "I don't know what to say. But if I don't say, they're going to be mad. But if I do say, they're going to be mad." You got a wounded spirit? Everything hurts you. Everything. There's some of you like this in your marriage. Stay with me now, folks. You take everything personally. Why? You have a wounded spirit. Wounded spirit, no control over the tongue. Wounded spirit, a desire to run. Wounded spirit, increased rage and temper. Wounded spirit, increased sensitivity. Hey, and somebody with a wounded spirit, you become very self-centered very quickly. You're constantly thinking of how everything affects you. In the church, somebody with the wounded spirit, everything that goes on with anybody else somehow affects you. Well, I wanted that. I wanted to do this. Why can't I do that? Well, I'm left out. What about what they're doing? Oh, no. Oh, look at that. Oh, no. Oh, everybody's getting to do everything but me. I'm going to run and hide. And I'm mad about it. I'm going to let everybody know. I wouldn't have said anything until I got to this point. It's called a wounded spirit. We become very self-centered. This sermon, you're saying, "He knew I was coming." Right now. You may be mad at me already. You may leave today and call someone or on the way home say, "That's why I don't like him." You stop being concerned about unity in the church and as the church being a family and decide really it's all about you. You build a wall to keep bad out, but it keeps good out also.
Right.
A wounded spirit. It's a constant feeling of you think everybody and everything's attacking you. There's an insecurity. There's a spiritual paranoia. Any preaching or instruction is an attack on you. It's out to get you. It's all about you. What are these? These are signs of a wounded spirit.
Yes, sir.
What's a sign of a wounded spirit? You're impossible to satisfy. When somebody has a wounded spirit, satisfaction is virtually no longer in their vocabulary. Nothing is good enough. Nothing or nobody can satisfy you. If I give you this, you don't want that. If I give you that, you don't want that. If she does this for you, that's not what you want. But if she does that for you, that's not what you want. So I can even turn it over to you and say, what do you want? You can tell me, but the minute I give you what you asked me for, it's not really what you wanted anyway, because you can't be satisfied. Why? Down inside you, you have an internal spiritual organ that is beat up and not functioning properly, and you're not healthy. Let's go on. What's another sign of a spiritually wounded person or having a wounded spirit? You become a pessimistic person instead of optimistic. Yes. Folks, Christians are supposed to be positive. You know that I can face reality and still be positive? I can face it. America's having a lot of struggles and still be positive that God's still on the throne. I can face the fact that there is a tough economy out there and still say, but my father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I can face the fact that in America morality has dropped, but I can say it has increased in our lives.
Amen.
But a person that has a wounded spirit, they become pessimistic instead of being optimistic. Now, some of you have to face it. You've been a pessimist all your life. You were reared by a pessimist. You've got an attitude of a negative attitude. You look on the downside instead of the upside. So that doesn't necessarily mean you had a wounded spirit. But I am going to tell you, one of the things that is a proof of a wounded spirit is we stop looking on the bright side of things and we look at the negative side of things. Everything has a negative attached to it. You can't find total good about anything. Your cup is half empty instead of half full. You see the pain and not the gain. Let me give you another sign of a wounded spirit. The feeling you can't do anything well enough to please others. The feeling that you can't do anything well enough to please others. Stay with me as I explain this. Maybe it's your fault. Maybe you're down on you. Maybe you're doing fine, but you're down on you because your spirit's down and you're discouraged and you're seeing negative and you're a pessimist. Maybe you're down on you because it's a part of your wounded spirit. But the feeling that you can't do anything well enough, hey, maybe it's somebody else's fault. Maybe it is you can't do anything well enough to please anybody else. But the problem is that you're down on you. Maybe it's somebody else's fault. Maybe you're down on others. Are accomplishments now out of reach for you? Are you to the point where you say, phooey on it all? Phooey on it all. Can't please anybody. Or can't please myself. You take the wound to the spirit, you'll be giving up on things.
Right.
Number next. If you have a wounded spirit, you'll have a feeling of hopelessness. There's nothing for you. Why go on? It's all gone. You've just been abused by whatever to the point of your life's ruined. Let me remind everybody in this room, if you are alive, then God has a purpose for your life. Do something with it. And don't blame me and don't blame the church. Do something with your life. Oh, we feel hopeless. And we'll never tell people this. Some will. To the point of, I just wish I were dead. That's how Elijah felt.
Right.
He was that far down.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that I might die. A wounded spirit. What will it do? It'll make us so hopeless that we just say, I would rather die. Or we act like a dead person, making no progression in life, just set there under the thicket of life because we're wounded, licking our own wounds, being negative. I can't do anything right for anybody. Nobody likes the way I do it. Everybody attacks me. Everything's against me. You're impossible to satisfy. It wouldn't matter if anybody tried to help you or not. I want to run, but I don't know where to run to. You get too close to me, I'm liable to launch out and attack you. There's a self-centeredness. Now, folks, this is what I do.
Yes, sir.
I know what I'm describing right now. then you dwell on the negatives. You focus on your hurt instead of your healing. You mentally intensify your hurt by driving the stake deeper and deeper into your own heart. Shouldn't have happened to me, and this is not right that it happened to me, to me, to me. And you just drive it deeper. You say, I have a right to hurt, and I want to hurt. You will drive your spirit to the grave if you're not careful. When it happens to me, I try to pick myself up, shake it off, and say, I'm going on. I'm going on. And then finally, one of the most dangerous is this. Then you don't trust anyone, or you won't trust anyone. Yes. Nobody really cares about you. Nobody can really be trusted. Nobody is good enough that you could trust your life in their hands. Nobody's really sincere. These are all a bunch of fakes. Nobody's real. This is all a ploy. What you're doing right now, it's just all psychology, Brother Owens. It is a preaching of the Word of God trying to heal the infirmity of some spiritual people that need to get on topside. That's what it is. Might just be too smart for your own spiritual britches. Nobody's really trustworthy. Now look, folks, as human beings, we're going to hurt each other, but there are some people that work pretty hard at not hurting people. But those are some of the signs. So what have we learned thus far? We said this. Number one, man is made of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Number two, we've got to know the difference between God's spirit and man's spirit. And there is. I said number three, God, the spirit, can be quenched, grieved, wounded, if you will. Number four, man's spirit can be wounded. Number five, what are the signs of this wounded spirit? Well, a desire to run, increased rage or temper, no control over the tongue, increased sensitivity, very self-centered, constant feeling of attack, impossible to satisfy, pessimism over optimism, feeling you can't do anything to please anybody, a feeling of hopelessness. You dwell on the negatives and almost enjoy the negative. It's almost an excuse that you use to keep you down to justify not getting up. And then most dangerous, now you don't trust anybody. You don't really trust that anybody cares about you. You've even wondered if God really knows what's going on here. How in the world did this all happen to you? Now let me tell you, I'm going to give you a few of the steps to heal a wounded spirit. But I'll just be honest. I knew there was no way I could preach this in one setting. I'll preach the rest tonight. I hope you are not so senseless that you won't come back and get it. Good. Amen. I know that's straightforward. But somebody here, you're going to let something keep you from coming back tonight. We could save your life. Yes. We could save your marriage. If you've listened thus far, you're saying, boy, this is right down the road there. That's just right. Yes, it is. Now, what do I do if I want to heal a wounded spirit? First of all, Jeremiah 30 verse 17 says, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. Now, here in Jeremiah 30, 17, there wasn't anybody physically wounded. There was somebody internally wounded. These are not physical wounds. God said, I can help you. I can help heal the internal wound. And it must be healed or you will destroy yourself. Proverbs 16, 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? It's unbearable. A wounded spirit will overpower you. You must get it healed, and you need to get it healed quickly. You say, what do I do? Here's one thing I would do. I would ask the Holy Spirit to heal your spirit. John 14, 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. You see, his spirit can help to heal your spirit. Somebody here needs to admit, okay, I've got a wounded spirit. If we accomplish nothing other than that this morning, if you just sit there and say, you know what, you describe me to the T. I don't care what you say to somebody else. I mean you, inside you. We lie to each other. The human race, we cover. Yes. You need to say to you, okay, yes. Everything you just described, I have experienced, and I am going backwards, not forwards. I may have a wounded spirit here. Then after you've admitted it, you go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit of God, my spirit was created in your likeness, and Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to have a healing here. I need healed of my wounded spirit. And you say, well, I'm not sure if I've got a wounded spirit or not. Ask God if you do. If you've got the courage, you'd come ask me. There's some of you, I could tell you the truth. I'm a doctor. I've been in the ER with many people. But your spirit is going to have to sustain me saying, yeah, I believe you do. What do you do next? You better get around a spirit refresher. You better come to a church that will patch up your spirit. You better get around somebody that knows how to heal people from the inside out. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 17 and 18, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit. Here are three people that the Apostle Paul said, I was down and I knew where to go. There were three people that knew how to refresh my spirit. These people were known as spirit refreshers. Paul, you look at what everything that Paul went through. I mean, Paul was shipwrecked and thrown into jail and beaten and lied upon, beaten again, lied upon again, everywhere Paul went. He went into town, took his suitcase, went down to the jail, left it there and said, I'll leave my luggage here because I know I'm coming sooner or later on my visit. They'd throw him in jail, beat the snot out of him time after time after time. Paul's spirit could get down, but Paul said, I know where to run. First of all, you run to the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, you run to people that have control of their spirit. You better find somebody that's not, you won't like this. You better find somebody that makes their decisions not based on emotion, but principle. Yes. That's what you got to find. Yes. Notice somebody, and it says here, this is what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 17 and 18. It says, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. You know what happened? Paul had been around some people that didn't know how to refresh spirits. And Paul said, it's a good thing I went and found my three spirit refreshers, because when I found them, they refreshed my spirit. Thanks, you didn't do it. Hey, you a spirit refresher? That's good. People leave you up or leave you down. People leave you on top side or bottom side. People leave you, people leave you optimistic or pessimistic.
That's good.
So what am I going to do? I've got a wounded spirit. You go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to begin to heal you. Then you find spirit refreshers. If your spirit is down and down bad and you need help, you come, you hear this sermon this morning and you hear this sermon tonight and you say, I'm still struggling. You come see me. I'll show you how to get your spirit on top side. I'll show you how to heal it. I want to help you heal your spirit. You think I want people mad at my church and mad at me and mad at God and mad at each other and unfulfilled in life? Why no? It's not the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you better watch out. There's a thing called a wounded spirit. And some of you, I explained yours to you.
Right,
you've seen yourself in a mirror. Now what do I do? Don't quit your responsibilities.
Amen.
And if you do, humbly seek to regain them.
Good.
Why? Well, one of the points is, I'm running. I'm done. I'm out of here. A wounded spirit destroys our productivity.
Yes.
So, I said, number one, go to the Holy Spirit. Let Him help to heal you. I said, number two, get around a spirit refresher and spirit refreshers. Number three, don't quit your responsibilities. And this last point I'm going to give you today. Number four, don't run from your pastor or other leaders. My job as your pastor is to help you keep a healthy spirit. And I can help you with that. I've had people, and I'm not trying to be unkind to anybody. I've had people leave here, upset at us, go somewhere else, but they couldn't get their spirit healed. They said, I can't find that out there. I can't find someone that will help me with the internal attitude. Now, there are people out there that can do it. They just didn't find it. Let your pastor help you with that. He said, but it's you I'm mad at. Come and I'll help you heal through it. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it.
Right.
But running won't fix your broken spirit.
Yes,
running has never fixed a broken spirit.
Right.
When you're bit by a snake, you don't run. You plop her down there and get help.
Yes,
if you run, you pump the poison through your system and you die faster. Ask anybody.
Yes,
Don't run from your pastor. The devil wants you to run. Get to your spirit healers. Get to your assistant pastors. Get to your Sunday school teachers. Look right this way. A wounded spirit. Tonight, I beg of you, I've got to stop. I want you to come back. I'm going to tell you the other things you do to heal your spirit. Then I'm going to show all of you tonight how to avoid a wounded spirit. I'll show you how to avoid it. It happened to you this time. I'm going to show you how not to let it happen to you again. Folks, we're in this for real. I don't know about you, but I want to go all the way to the end till Jesus comes back or I die. I want to pastor the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I want to love you. I want you to love me. I want us to love each other. I want us to go out and conquer a lost and dying world. But if we can't take care of our own spirit, how are we going to help everybody else? We've got to be strong. We've got to be strong. And the Bible teaches there's a way. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do not have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. You need to be born again, or your spirit is going to be quenched just constantly. You have to have the Holy Spirit to help to heal your spirit. Do you say, what's the first thing to do, Brother Owens? If I'm not saved, get saved today. Get saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to get saved. I'm not talking about did you get baptized. I'm talking about are you saved. I'm not talking about did you join a church somewhere along the way. I'm talking about did you get saved. If you're here and you've never been saved, I want to pray for you, and I want you to get born again. Is there anybody here at all that would say, preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I would go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. Raise your hand. Say, that's me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. And there's another and another. I realize I've not spoken on salvation today, but the Holy Spirit of God has permeated this place. I'm just sure there'll be people get saved. There's another hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. You raise your hand. Father, please save these. Now, those of you that raise your hand, let me explain something to you. In a matter of just a moment, we're going to have what's called an altar call. In a second, the choir will begin to sing. The men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform and post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, whether it's in the balcony or the lower floor, I want you to leave your seat. I want you to walk down the aisle, walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be born again. And somebody will take a Bible in a matter of a few minutes, show you how to be born again. And you can get started on the healing of your spirit so you can have a happy life. But you've got to be spiritually born again before the Holy Spirit can do its work. Let me turn to those that are saved. Who here would say, Brother Owens, I believe. I either have a wounded spirit or I see its potential in my life. I thank God He's dealing with me, and I thank God there's something happening. I want help with it. I want God to help me with it. Who here would raise your hand and say, that's me? Their hands everywhere. They are everywhere. God bless you. You may put your hand down. If you need this altar for a moment, you ought to thank God for an old black book that shows you how to heal your spirit. Some of you need to leave your seat, come down here and get on your face and say, God, I want to get started on this thing. And tonight, some of you need to just plan on it. Promise, I'll be here tonight. I'm not missing it. And let us take you the next two steps of the way so you'll know what to do with it. If you're here and you've been saved but never made it public, I want you to come. If you're here and you've never been baptized, I want you to come. If you're looking for an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible-only Baptist church, that's what we are. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation and you want to join this church, you come see us. We'd be glad to have you join. Somebody here, you're a spirit douser instead of refresher. Somebody here needs to change the way you are. The altar call will begin in a moment. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. This evening, I preached the second half of a sermon that I started this morning. I've probably done this three or four times in the last 8 years. I felt like the truth was so important that we needed to get the whole thing and that we need not cut it short. And so tonight, I'll catch you up the best that I can. I apologize if you were not able to be here. Of course, we have visitors that are here tonight that couldn't be here this morning, but we had dozens and dozens and dozens of our people in nurseries and children's churches and Spanish church that were not here this morning as well. So I want to catch us up. I want to do my best to help us. Let me say this first of all. I made a statement or two at the beginning of the sermon this morning, and I said, what you do with this sermon is going to make a difference as to whether or not you'll stay married, whether or not you'll stay in your church, your Christian school, whether or not you'll stay a functioning part of Christianity. Every leader here, you need to listen to what I say, because we're going to talk about a wounded spirit. And if you're going to survive the attack of Satan and survive the attack of people, every Christian leader here at one time or another, or many times in life, you will be attacked by people. There's just no doubt about that. Now, you're going to have to learn how to survive it. You're going to have to learn how to keep your spirit right. And that's what I'm going to help you with this evening. We could call this a wounded attitude, if you would like. It's about your attitude. It's about your spirit. Also, you could call it a wounded heart, if you would like. Within man, when God talks about the heart, it's talked about two different ways in the Bible. There is the heart that is the physical organ. Then there is the heart, that seat of your emotions, the central computer of your emotions and your feelings, that place where your attitude is plugged in. All those things are what describe this thing of the heart. We call it a wounded spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? We read a moment ago the story of the great Old Testament prophet Elijah. And if you know anything about him, Elijah performed 8 supernatural miracles. Elijah is about to be taken to heaven. He's going to be translated. In other words, God's going to come down and snatch him up off the earth. He's not going to die a death like maybe you and I will by being put in the grave. God was going to take him off the earth. Well, Elijah has a faithful assistant by the name of Elisha. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah, and let me explain something to you folks. We have a new little boy. He's special needs, and you just pay attention right this way with me. Don't let it disturb you. Mom and Dad are here, and they love him, and we love him, but you give me your attention. You look right at me. That way you know what's going on, and all of us work together that way. Elijah is about to be taken to heaven. Elisha, he is Elijah's faithful assistant. And Elijah tells Elisha, he said, now I want you to wait right here for me. I'm going to go over Jordan. And Elisha said, no way, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to stay with you. Well, the Bible says that Elijah took his mantle, and that would have been his overcoat, his cloak, if you will, and he smote the Jordan River, he parts it, and they walk across on dry ground. Well, when they get to the other side, Elijah says to his assistant, Elisha, what in the world can I do for you? You've been loyal, you've been committed, I'd like to do something for you before I go up. And Elisha answers, and he says, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That's verse number 9 in the passage that we read earlier. It actually uses these words, Elisha asks of Elijah, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Notice the words, thy spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. It was the spirit of Elijah. That was his attitude. That was the heart with which he functioned. So, and Elijah's spirit was so wonderful that Elisha said that that's a big part of God using you, the spirit or the attitude that you have. Elijah said to him, he said, you ask a hard thing of me, Elisha. Elijah said, if you see me when I go up, then we will grant your wish. Well, it turns out that Elisha was there when Elijah was translated. And as a result of it, Elisha did receive a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Then you know what happens. According to the Bible, Elisha ends up doing 16 supernatural miracles. Remember, Elijah only did 8. Elisha does 16. Let me point out, though, to you a truth that many people miss. You see, the truth is that Elisha does double miracles of Elijah. Elisha receives a double dose of Elijah's spirit. Now, it might be that Elisha received a double dose of the Holy Spirit, but that's not what he asked for. He said, of thy spirit. Now, Elijah, let me take you back a little bit. Elijah had had a time when he was down. Elijah had had a time when I think he was wounded in spirit. There's a story where Elijah took on 450 false prophets of Baal. He outran a chariot. He ends up attacking these prophets of Baal. He kills them all. And then Jezebel comes after him. The Bible says when Elijah runs from Jezebel, he goes and hides underneath a juniper tree. Matter of fact, he's discouraged. He's virtually depressed. It's found in 1 Kings 19. He's depressed. He's under that juniper tree. He's thrown in the towel. He's ready to resign the ministry. He's ready to resign everything. He's all the way to the point where he says, I don't even want to live. I don't even want to live. Now, that's where Elijah went at one point in his ministry. But let me say to you about Elisha, his assistant, the one that does 16 miracles. You do not see anywhere in the scripture where Elisha had one of those down times. You don't see where he had a wounded spirit. Is it possible that Elisha accomplished double miracles, not only because of the power of God, but because the spirit of Elijah had rested on Elisha? But you do not see where Elisha had had a wounded spirit. You see, what you accomplish for God is going to have something to do with His Spirit, but it's also going to have something to do with your spirit. It has something to do with the spirit of the God of the universe, but it has something to do with your attitude. Your spirit influences how greatly and how much God can use you. Not only the Holy Spirit, but your spirit. Your spirit influences how much your spiritual leaders feel they can trust you and use you. Hey, your body is supposed to be healthy, but what's down inside you has to be healthy as well. I would rather have a sick body and a healthy spirit than a healthy body and a sick spirit. We're talking about your attitude. We're talking about that bundle of emotion that's attached to your what we call your spirit. Now, again, quickly, I'm going to give you some points to catch up, and then I've got to get to the new part of the sermon. I said, number one, man is made of three parts. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image. The word us and our is plural. This is before man was created. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were having a conversation, and they said, let us create man in our image. Our God is a three-part God. Man was created in three parts. Man is body, man is soul, man is spirit. Well, that's how we ended up that way, because God is a three-part God, and man is a three-part man. The Bible says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So, number one, man is made of three parts. Number two, we must know the difference between God's spirit and man's spirit. In Romans 8:16, the Bible says, the Spirit itself, that's got a capital S there. That means it's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. The word spirit there is a small s. You see, we out of reverence, that capital S, because it's the Holy Spirit, anytime there's a proper name, it is to be capitalized. And the Holy Spirit, that's proper. And so there you have the Holy Spirit, capital S, and our spirit. There are other scriptures in the Bible that refer to our spirit. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, and in spirit. Then, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:4, it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great peace. Here, God talks to a lady about her spirit. What's it talking about? Her heart, her attitude, that bundle that we call the emotions and our behavior toward people. So, when you read your Bible, you need to make sure you notice there is a difference between the Holy Spirit and the spirit of man. Remember, man's made of body, soul, and spirit. And there is a difference between the Holy Spirit and man's spirit. Now, God's spirit can be wounded. The Bible says in Matthew 3:16, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. I explained this morning, the Holy Spirit's compared to a dove. A dove spooks easily. A dove can be startled easily. Listen, folks, if the Holy Spirit's not wanted, he'll flee. He'll go away. You can reject him. You can virtually. Now, I don't mean offend in the fact that he is weak. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You won't offend the Holy Spirit. He's strong and capable, but when we talk about offend, you can make him feel like he's not wanted, and he'll just back off and he'll leave. Right. Did you know the Holy Spirit can be grieved? Ephesians 4:30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can be quenched? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. And so, you see here, we can wound our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can push him away. We can quench him. We can grieve him. We can spook him. And the old dove takes to flight. Our behavior can injure his influence on us. Our behavior, a church's behavior can injure the Holy Spirit's influence in a church. If a church starts misbehaving, the Holy Spirit will retract itself. You can almost tell when something's not going right in a church, something begins to quench the Spirit. You be careful. I know I'm going to. I don't want to do anything that would quench or grieve the Spirit of God from working at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Next, man's spirit also can be wounded or injured. Man's spirit was created to some degree in the image of God's spirit. The Bible tells us of Hannah, and Hannah had a sorrowful spirit. 1 Samuel 1:15, it says, and Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. Again, it goes along with this wounded spirit, or a wounded attitude, or a wounded heart. A broken spirit is mentioned in the Bible. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I told everybody this morning, when you have a bad attitude, when you have a bad spirit, you're hurting your health. A good spirit, it produces healthier body. The Bible says that we can have a wounded heart. Psalm 109 verse 22, it says, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. That's not talking about the physical organ of the heart. It's talking about the spirit. It's talking about the attitude, the seat of your emotions. Man's spirit can be damaged. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. I've seen people with wounded spirits. You've seen people with wounded spirits. Often people that have wounded spirits don't realize they do. They don't realize they do. They don't know how to describe it. Now, when I describe it, you'll be able to apply some of the behavior of the wounded spirit, and you might figure it out. But this thing of a wounded spirit, it is as big a deal as if somebody had a wounded heart. The organ of the heart. You say, boy, if somebody has a heart attack, that's a big deal. You're right. And when you have a wounded spirit, your spirit is such a part of the spiritual part of you. It's dangerous. I mean, it's something that can destroy you, and you don't want that. Now, this morning I described the signs of a wounded spirit. I can't go into all them in great detail, but let me tell you, a wound hurts. It's touchy, it's painful, it's sensitive, it aches, it swells, it throbs. Prior to a wound, you could touch the area, you could slap it, but there would be no pain. Now that it's wounded, there's hardly any tolerance for pain there. And one wound can make other wounds flare up. Let me tell you some of the signs of a wounded spirit. A desire to run. I explained it this way today. Somebody gets a wounded spirit, they want to run. They just want to run. They want to quit their duties. They want to run from the church. Wounded animals run and hide. You take a dog that gets wounded, it's going to try to go find some place and hide. You see a wounded deer, it'll find a thicket. It'll find some nice thick sticks and bushes and go hide under it. So be careful now. One of the signs of a wounded spirit is the desire to run. Another sign is increased rage and increased temper, out of control. Wounded animals will lash out unpredictably, and somebody with the wounded spirit behaves the same way. They'll get mad. They'll get mad if somebody didn't even do anything to them. Why? They've got a wounded spirit, and that wounded spirit kind of unleashes some emotions, and they don't control them well. Then, what's another sign? No control over the tongue. Quicker than usual to criticize and to tear down. Very analytical about what's wrong with everybody. Brilliant about what's wrong with everybody. Not having any idea that we're looking and saying, what's wrong with you? Good night. Where did you get that attitude? Can nitpick things to death. Somebody standing back and saying, kid Knight, what got in your crawl? What's your problem? Never recognizing the fact that your attitude is so revealing. No control over the tongue. What you once may have thought critically, but would have never spoken, you now lash out confidently. Why? Your spirit's wounded, and there are some things that are out of control. Something else about the wounded spirit, there's an increased sensitivity. You wear your feelings on your cuff. Everything offends you. Everything hurts you. You take everything very personally. That's a sign of the wounded spirit. Another sign of a wounded spirit, you become very self-centered, constantly thinking of how everything affects you. This sermon's only, if you take this sermon wrongly, it's because somebody was trying to hurt you. We build a wall to keep out bad, but we also keep out some good that way. Here's another sign. Constantly feeling like you're the object of attack. There's an insecurity, a spiritual paranoia. Any preaching or instruction is an attack on you. Then, you're impossible to satisfy. Somebody that's got a wounded spirit, nothing's good enough. Nothing or nobody can satisfy. You know, we think you want one thing and we give it to you, but that's not what you want. And we think you want something else and we give it to you, but that's not what you want. We can even leave it up to you. What do you want? You can pick it and we give it to you, but that's not what you want. But it's never anybody's fault. It's everybody else's fault and it's never your fault. Hey, people with wounded spirits are impossible to satisfy. You just can't figure it out. You just throw your hands in the sky and say, okay, here they come again. Now what do they want? You can't say that to them, but that's what you think. You can't satisfy them. Then you become a pessimistic person instead of optimistic. In other words, you're a negative person instead of a positive person. Folks, as Christians, we're to be positive. We're to be upbeat and we're to be living for God. You know, everything though in the wounded spirit's life, everything has a negative attached to it. They can never find something good that's just good. It's always good but. Always have to have that conjunction there. Always have to tear a little something down. Listen, they're the kind of people that their cup is half empty instead of half full. You see the pain, but you don't see the gain. Here's another sign of a wounded spirit. The feeling you can't do anything well enough to please others. Sometimes this is your fault. You're down on yourself. Sometimes it may be somebody else's fault, but you will make sure that they know, at least in your heart, that it's got to be their fault. Really and honestly, accomplishment begins to seem out of your reach. Somebody with a wounded spirit feels like no matter what I do, it's not good enough. Now, you know, some people can have that attitude. Some can have it in humility. Others have it almost with a touch of animosity with it. You ever had someone say, nothing I do ever satisfies? Now, some people have that attitude constantly. They're just mad at every leader. Can't satisfy them, can't satisfy them, can't satisfy them, can't satisfy anybody. Watch out now. It could be attached to this thing called a wounded spirit. A feeling of hopelessness as if all opportunity is gone. People with a wounded spirit dwell on negatives. They dwell. They almost entertain themselves with the negatives that have come their way. It's almost as if they're enjoying the pain for a while, and then they get themselves in this depressed stupor and wish they would have never put themselves in it. I mean, they can entertain that thought and entertain that thought, and it's a negative. For long, they've got themselves so depressed. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. Well, go ahead. You won't like them. You'll say, these don't taste the way I thought they would. Who gave me these worms? Impossible to satisfy. Then, one of the most dangerous effects is that somebody with the wounded spirit won't trust anybody. Nobody's really good. Nobody's really sincere. Nobody's real. There's always an ulterior motive with everybody that tries to help you and everybody that tries to love you and everybody that tries to invest in you. What are they trying to get out of you? What do they want from you? They're not sincere. You say, Brother Owens, the human race is tainted. Yes, it is, but I've not given up on the human race. And I trust my God ultimately, and I trust His book ultimately, but I'm going to trust some people too, because people need people to trust them. If we don't trust each other, this whole world's going to turn into total chaos, and it's going to be a mess. Yes. Right. The goodness of people is the Holy Spirit of God that lives within them and the book that instructs them. No, you can't go to the bank 100% on everybody all the time, but there are some people that won't go to the bank at all on anybody. The only person you trust is you, and you're in sorry shape. What makes you think you're better than anybody else? You're made out of the same dirt that I am. Now, what are the steps to the healing of a wounded spirit? First of all, I'll say this. You ask the Holy Spirit to heal your spirit. You need to admit if your spirit is wounded. Look, I said this morning. Some of you are excellent with people. You know how to smile. You are winsome. You're political. You've got this. You can smile and you can have this great attitude and you just look at everybody. And for people to take a glance at you, they would never imagine that you have a broken spirit down inside you, but you do. See, it is not how you carry yourself on the outside. It is the reality and the truth of what's going on the inside. There are people that they come out in public and they get along with folk and everything, but you get them in private. You get into the innermost part of their heart, if I may, their spirit, and you'll find out there's something not right there. There's hate. There's jealousy. There's rage. And folks, I think we ought to keep putting up the front. I don't think you ought to just cut loose and do everything you want and say everything you want. That'd be stupid. But I can tell you this, it's time to start fixing what's going on in private in some of your lives. It's time to fix it. It's time to stop coming into public and being one thing and being something totally different in attitude and spirit when you're out of the public eye. It needs to be fixed. So what do? I go to the Holy Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, my spirit, there's something not right with it. And God, I want your help. Holy Spirit, help heal my spirit. Number two, you need to get around spirit refreshers. If you've got a damaged spirit, if you've got a wounded heart or attitude, whatever you want to call it, get around spirit refreshers. I read to you from 1 Corinthians 16, verse 17 and 18. I read it to you this morning. Here's what Paul says. Paul mentions three names. When he's writing this verse, he said, I have just been with three people, and it says, for they have refreshed my spirit. And then he said, for that which was lacking on your part. What he said was, my spirit was down a bit. I went and found some people that could refresh my spirit, because when I was with you, you didn't. I'd hate to think that I was known as someone that gets people down instead of gets people up. If you want to have your spirit refreshed, get around spirit refreshers. Everybody under the sound of my voice need to learn how to refresh other people's spirit. I'll lose track of the numbers here. Don't quit your responsibilities. If you do quit your responsibilities, humbly seek to regain them. If you've got a sick spirit, if you've got a wounded spirit, you know, people want to just quit. I'm quitting. Why? They want to run. What you do is you don't quit your things. And if you do, you go back to the leader and say, you do it like this. Now, I know I resigned and I know I might not be able to get right back in there. But as soon as I can, I want to serve the Lord again. Try this. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have resigned. I was upset. Now, you know what? I can deal with that. I can deal with that. But don't quit your responsibilities. Hey, a wounded spirit, it destroys our productivity. Every time someone is running down the pathway of a wounded spirit, or they have a wounded spirit, they stop producing for God. They don't win souls. Hey, those of you that truly have a wounded spirit, there's some of you that when this thing came to a climax, you just haven't won anybody to Christ. Never have. There's some that have a wounded spirit that have never won anybody to Christ because of that wounded spirit. Let me go on. What do we do if we have a wounded spirit? Don't run from your pastor. Don't run from your pastor. When people start running from me, you know there's something wrong. You say, I don't like you. Well, I love you, and I like you, and I will help you. If you don't like me, you can come face me, and I'll help you out of this thing. I'm big enough to take it if you don't like me. Now, if there's something wrong with me, I'd be glad to try to fix it. Now, there's some things about me you will not change. You will not change where I stand on doctrine. You will not change where I stand on separation from this world. But if I've got a jerky personality, I'm glad to try to fix that. Because I'm trying to be formed in the image of Jesus Christ. I want to fix me. But don't run from your pastor. Let me go on. That's where I stopped this morning. We've got to hit it running here. Next, Don't dwell on discouragements. Don't dwell on discouragements. The things that you can't change, why do you dwell on those? Why do you keep thinking about, okay, you got a divorce. And all you do is think about that. And you're a depressed person because of it. Can I recommend that you just forget about it and go on? There are people in here, your divorce has stolen your spirit. Stole part of your checkbook too. But I'm just here to tell you, if I went through a divorce, I would do my best to learn from it, and I would go on. Why do you dwell on that discouragement? It does not help you. Lost opportunity. You say, well, I lost this opportunity. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it's somebody else's fault. Why dwell on the discouragement? Let me go on next. Don't get this. Don't allow yourself to dislike anyone. Let me tell you the difference here. We talk about loving the brethren. I think you ought to love the brethren, but I think you ought to like the brethren. When you get to the point where you're going around the church saying, I love them, but I can't stand them, I don't like them, you're on your way. You get the difference? You come across with this hyper-spirituality, well, I love them, but I can't stand them. There's an intermingling of something going on there that you ought to be bigger than that. You ought to like the brethren and love the brethren. There are some of you, you think that you justify your hatred for somebody on the church staff. You can say, I love them, but I just don't like them. You're a poor Christian. You probably have a wounded spirit. You probably don't like that person because somewhere along the way they were a part. Maybe you feel like they were a part of you, a missed opportunity or something. You better learn how to love and like people. Let me go on. Next, how are we going to solve this wounded spirit? Don't allow yourself to constantly display your feelings. Better get your feelings under control. Look, folks, it's what we all have to do. Sometimes you just need to learn to keep your mouth shut. You say, why? You're wounded, and there's a part of you that's broken that's not functioning properly. And you revealing your feelings about everything as fast as you can, you'll find yourself out on the on a short stick. You will time and time again say, why couldn't I control myself and get that under control? Why did I launch that effort at that moment? You better learn to control your feelings. Number next, don't run. Don't run. Stay and fix. Don't run. Stay and fix. You can run all you want, but you can't run away from you. So I'm going to another church. You're taking a big part of your problem with you. Look, if I turn tail and run on the King James Bible, you go ahead and go join you another church. But if with its people problems and personality conflicts and a bunch of stupid little things, suck it up, grow up, and say, I'll stay right here and fix this. You can't run constantly. I've watched this by so many. People, you just can't find a church, and you think, well, I'll go somewhere where I can fix it. Yeah, go mess up their church, buddy. Let's go on. Don't mentally repeat your disappointments. Don't mentally repeat your disappointments. Some of you need to stop the way you think. A disappointment comes and you think about it. Hey, listen, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can keep him from building a nest there. When a disappointment comes your way, it hits you. You do not have to rehearse it in your brain over and over and over and over and over. What good did it do? You say, well, it really happened. Okay, what good did it do for you to think about it over and over and over and over and over? You are driving your heart, your spirit, your attitude right in the ground. People will let you down. People will let me down. Disappointments will come. We will disappoint ourselves and others will disappoint us. Life includes disappointments. But why do you repeatedly repeat that in your mind? Why do you go over the disappointment and over the disappointment and over the disappointment and over the disappointment? Why don't you find something good and go over that and find something good and go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it? Hey, the minute you're disappointed with something here at the church, why don't you think about all the people who are saved and put that in the place of it and say, thank God all those people were saved. 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 Instead of taking that one thing that's your disappointment and driving your spirit in the ground by repeating it. Number next, don't retract from your crowd or your church family. Retraction equals rejection. Get in, not out. There's something about this. The minute you feel that maybe your spirit's wounded, get with the people, get around them, force yourself. Force yourself. Don't run and hide. Next, don't hang around others with wounded spirits. Contagious. You get enough people with wounded spirits all in the same church, they'll split a church. Stay away from it now. Stay away from it. Next, don't distort reality. Realize you're wounded and you're overreacting. Wounded people overreact. Wounded spirits have spiritual hallucinations. I promise you, I could bring people up to this pulpit today that in the last month said, preacher, I should have come back to God a long time ago. I thought you were against me. I thought everybody was against me. I thought nobody liked me. Where'd that come from? If there's a church on the face of the earth where the preacher's a preacher of a second chance and the people are a people of a second chance, the devil lied to you. And you're suffering from spiritual hallucinations. That's the way he is. Be careful now. Wounded spirits overreact. Always overreacting. Number next, don't allow yourself to lose respect. For who? Well, for yourself, for your church, for your mate, for your pastor, for fundamentalism, for your convictions, for your leaders. Be careful now. I see it when people have a wounded spirit, they start losing respect for so many. Can't find anybody they respect. Well, there's only one person on the whole face of this earth I respect. I worry. I honestly worry. I like helping to heal people. I have a lot of people say, preacher, I trust you, but I don't trust anybody else. Well, I need to help get you fixed up quick. Because all the devil has to do is take me out and you'll end up being a drunk, druggie, or prostitute. There are a lot of good people left in this world. You're suffering from delusion. You've lost respect and you need to gain a little of it again. Hey, get your eyes off yourself. If you want to help your wounded spirit, go serve somebody. Let me tell you something I've discovered. This isn't 100% true. Most people that work in the bus ministry don't end up with wounded spirits. Why? Their life is all about other people. Their life is all about other people. And I wish I could park it here for 5 minutes and tell you, I use that. I try to use that to help people. You get your eyes off of you. If you want to heal your wounded spirit, you go find some people that have it tougher than you. You go, hey, you launch yourself out there where people are dirty and nasty and low down. Hey, you launch yourself out there where people don't have anything. You won't come back to the church complaining all the time. You'll come back and say, glory to God what we have. Oh my, what God's done for us. Next, don't decide to start something new. Decide to finish what you've already started. See, what we want to do is we want to run from something we're already doing to go do something new. For some reason, we don't want to face something back here in what we're already doing. Don't run, fix. Don't run, fix. Let me say this, and then I've got to get to my last point. Make no major decisions when you're wounded. When your spirit's wounded, when you've suffered a blow, and you see a bunch of these things happening, don't change a thing. Come to church when you don't feel like it. Go soul winning when you don't feel like it. Read your Bible when you don't feel like it. Don't leave your husband. Don't leave your wife. Don't leave your church. When you're wounded, come and fake it. Because when we're wounded, we make terrible decisions. Terrible. And And again, I could march him across the platform right now that would say, listen, he knows what he's talking about right here. When you're wounded, you will make decisions that are not good decisions and look back and you'll regret them. You'll look back someday and say, why did I do that? Well, you were wounded. You were wounded. This is what we've said so far this evening. I said this. I said, number one, man is made of three parts. I said, number two, we must know the difference between God's spirit and man's spirit. I said, number three, God the Spirit can be pushed away, grieved, or quenched. I said, number four, man's spirit can also be wounded. Man's spirit, made in the image of God, it too can have that wound. I said, the signs of a wounded spirit. The signs of a wounded spirit is a desire to run, increased rage or temper. I said, no control over the tongue, increased sensitivity, becoming very self-centered, a constant feeling that you're the object of attack, you're impossible to satisfy, you become a negative rather than a positive person. You feel like you can't do anything well enough or right enough to please people. You have a feeling of hopelessness, you dwell on the negatives, and most dangerous, you trust no one. Then, how do I heal it? Well, I go to the Holy Spirit and I ask Him to heal my spirit. Next, I get around spirit refreshers. Next, I don't quit my responsibilities. Next, I don't run from my pastor. Next, I don't dwell on the discouragements. Next, I don't allow myself to dislike people. Next, I don't allow myself to constantly display my feelings. Next, I don't run, I stay and fix. Next, I don't mentally repeat my disappointments. Next, I don't retract myself from my crowd. Next, I don't hang around other wounded spirits. Next, I don't distort reality. Next, I don't allow myself to lose respect for those around me. Next, I get my eyes off myself. I then decide to start. I don't want to go start something new. I need to finish something old and be faithful to it. And finally, I'll make no major decisions while I'm wounded. Now, finally, I want to tell you how to avoid getting a wounded spirit. I want you to know how to keep from wounding your spirit. Let's say, you say, well, you know, Brother Owens, I've never really had a wounded spirit. Maybe you could testify like Elisha, who did 16 supernatural miracles opposed to Elijah's 8. Elijah would have to say, I had a wounded spirit. He wanted to die. He was so down. He had ran from the crowd. Everything that I talked about, he was critical. You'll find out. He was critical in the story there in 1 Kings. He was running. He was unsatisfied. There's a lot of things going on with him there. Maybe, though, you say, I've not had a wounded spirit. Let me tell you how to keep it that way. You say, I have had a wounded spirit, but it's fixed. I'll show you how to keep it that way. You say, I have a wounded spirit right now. Well, I've showed you how to fix it. You go to work on it. But once we get you to the point where your spirit's healthy, you're going to have to protect yourself. I spend every day of my life, one of the thoughts that permeate my day is protecting my spirit. I have to have talks with me. You know how much time I spend with negative? I will get on an airplane. I'll fly to the West Coast. I'll have pastors come and counsel with me about their churches falling apart. I'll spend 2 or 3 days and I'll get negative after negative after negative. When I counsel, it's negative after negative after negative. I am surrounded by negative. I go to the hospital and it's negative. I go to the jails and it's negative. Everywhere I go, there's negative coming at me. But if you ever notice, I'm not a negative person. I'm a positive person. I'm an upbeat person. But I protect my spirit. I want to be long term. I want to go all the way to the end. And I don't want to get old and nasty and mean. I don't want to be out of control as an old person. Now let me show you some things how to avoid a wounded spirit. First of all, you got to walk in the Spirit. You can't do this on your own. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You be sure. If you have a wounded spirit, the way it got wounded is you let your guard down. And for a moment, for a day, for a week, you were not walking in the Spirit of God. His Spirit's more powerful than anything that could come up against your spirit. So you must walk in the Spirit. Number two, you must forgive quickly. Don't waste a year of your life. Don't waste a month of your life. Don't waste a week of your life. Don't waste a day of your life. Mrs. Owens, my wife, will tell you, if she and I ever have a disagreement, it gets a little tense. I run for apologies. Why? I cannot take a chance of my spirit being soiled. I fix it. I fix it as fast as I can. If you and I ever had a tension, you'll find out. I want it fixed. I will not let it linger. I will not let that poison begin to explode inside me. You need to fix it, and you need to fix it fast. And so you've got to learn to forgive quickly. A lot of people that have wounded spirits have allowed something to fester. Forgive, forget, and go on. Yes. Ladies, are you listening to me? Yes. Two men can get in on a fight. We can take two boys, get in on a fight out here in the playground. They can go to Fist City, and I don't want you doing that. But they can go to Fist City out here, be mad at each other. 2 minutes later, they can be playing on the same football team and love each other to death. Two girls get in the same fight, they may hate each other for the rest of their lives. Ladies, you watch, your emotions go pretty deep. I find far more ladies with wounded spirits than I do men. And I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not a male chauvinist. I am a pig, but I'm not a male chauvinist. But ladies, your emotions run deep. You better protect yourselves. I'll tell you why. Nothing will destroy a man or a family quicker than a woman. Ladies, you set the spirit in your home. You get the women contrary in a church, you'll have a problem. Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Now, there are many men with damaged spirits. But ladies, you better protect yourself in a special way. So I say, number one, walk in the Spirit. Number two, forgive quickly. Number three, serve others. Stay busy serving others. You know something? When something personal comes to me and hits me, and I am just, it just hits me, and it has the potential of blowing me away. You know what I do? I stay on schedule, and I keep serving people. I may be blown away with the personal tragedy, and if it happened to me at 8 o'clock in the morning at 8:30, I will meet with you and your scheduled appointment, and I will carry your burden at 8:30. Yes. I don't take time to entertain my own pain. I'm coming to help you with yours. Yes. And let me tell you, that'll make a difference. So serve others. Hey, faithful to your ministry. Number next, you want to keep from having a wounded spirit, avoid negative people. Avoid negative people. If I've got to be around negative people to help them, then I will. But if you think for a moment, the church's biggest gossip, I want to go to their house and spend 4 hours fellowshipping in the backyard at a cookout, you're crazy. Why would I want my spirit to be in subjection to that? I won't do it. Some of you risk your spirit. I feel sorry for some. Because some of you live in the same household with somebody that's got a wounded spirit. There's no place to run. That's really sad. But you may need to watch your family. I'm talking about that family that doesn't live in your household. Sometimes you have to limit yourself with people that just, hey, some of you have family members that have terribly wounded spirits. And you get around them and what do? They pick the scab right off of your wounded spirit. You better be careful. Number next, stay close to your spiritual leaders. Close up the gap. Close up the gap. You get close to your Sunday school teacher. You get close to those that lead you spiritually. The minute you start distancing yourself, you could be a prime target for a wounded spirit. So, where am I at? I said walk in the Spirit. I said forgive quickly. I said serve others often. I said avoid negative people. I said stay close to your spiritual leaders. Number next, decide you never want to go there. Say, never want to go where? You've got to decide tonight, I do not want to damage your wounded spirit. Amen. Thank God there are some decisions I made as a very young preacher. And one was, I didn't want to end up bitter. I didn't want to end up being the kind of guy that's going all over the place attacking people. And I don't want to live like that. I don't want that kind of a ministry. I don't want to be constantly having to sort things out because I can't control my tongue. And one-on-one, I'm rude and I'm crude to people. I don't want that. So I made sure early in life, I said, I do not want a wounded spirit. And from this point on, every day of my life, I will protect my spirit. Somebody here needs to make that decision tonight and say, from here on out, I will protect my spirit and I will protect the spirit of people around me. Number next, confess your relationship sins quickly so bitterness does not creep in. In other words, sincerely fix your relationships as fast as you can. Kind of goes along with the forgiveness issue, but fix relationship problems and quit. You won't end up divorced that way. Right. Most divorces come from wounded spirits. Let me go on. Number next, don't quit your duties. Don't quit your duties. Stay in your ministry. Keep teaching your bus. Keep teaching your Sunday school class. Stay in King's Kids. Don't quit your duties. We're to be growing in the Lord, not retreating. Number next, read your Bible, not in an effort to justify your behavior, but in an effort to be like Jesus. Wounded people often go to the Bible, and all the time they're in it, they're telling you what's wrong with everybody else. Right there, they wouldn't have done that, and right there, if they wouldn't have done that, and right there. You better read your Bible to become like Jesus. We can thank God He did not get a wounded spirit. I mean, He said, He was hanging on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He had to keep a pure heart. You help more people when you've got that pure, healthy heart. And that's what he had. Number next, stay truly humble. Watch your pride. Don't desire position. Desire to serve. And that way you won't be hurt. If you desire position and you don't get it, more than likely you'll have a wounded spirit. Think about it. What wounds the spirit quicker than anything? You wanted something, can't have it. Number next, learn to spread out your hurt. You say, what? Learn to spread out your hurt. There are times when I'm facing so many hurts, I have to deal with them on schedule. You know what? I know I can't. I'll overload. I will overload with burdens. So you know what I have to do? There's sometimes I have to say this burden is going to have to be dealt with on Thursday. So I'm going to put a place in my schedule on Thursday to deal with this burden. But right now, I've got to preach. I've got to have a good spirit, and I've got to have a good heart. I'll get to this, but I'm going to have to get to it later. Some of you, you take them in, and you take them in, and you take them in, and you say, Brother Owens, that seems impossible. It is not impossible. Right. You can give time for a hurt and then go hurt. Some of you, you just decide, I think I'll just hurt all the time. You're going to have to get that under control. Or you'll never do anything for God. Or what you do for God will be minimal compared to what you could have done. You know your emotions are not supposed to control you. You're supposed to control them. Just like your credit card. And maybe that's why we don't understand it. You're to control your credit card, not it control you. And you're to control your emotions by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. And you can do that. There are times when I must say to myself, I can't deal with this right now. There's been many a time, when I needed to go do something that was positive and upbeat, and a negative came to me, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is so heavy. In 5 minutes, I've got to go do something that is positive. What am I going to do? I can either go take my positive event and turn it into a negative, or I can take the negative that I've heard, shift it into a spot and say, I'll deal with this later. I can't deal with it now. And I go do my job with the right spirit and right attitude. And you can do that too. Learn to spread out your hurt. And then finally, well, I've got two more, but hang on. Let me say this. Become a spirit protector. I spend my life trying to protect spirits. Spend your life refreshing the spirits of others. Usually spirit refreshers don't have wounded spirits. So if you'll work at refreshing others, that's not always true, but if you'll work at refreshing others, you will stay alert to the sensitivity of your attitude or the sensitivity of your heart. So become a spirit refresher. And then finally, use the altar. Many times wounded spirits won't. The altar. The altar of God. Wounded spirits often say, well, I'll take care of it in my seat. You probably haven't taken care of anything. The Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Sometimes the wounds are self-inflicted. Sometimes the wounds are inflicted by others. But can I tell you something? It really doesn't matter. Once you've got that spirit down and wounded, you become unproductive. for God in your family gets bad enough, society, we must heal our spirits. We must protect that attitude thing. And if we will, I think we can make it to the end where the Lord will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I would like to do double the miracles. Elijah, 8. Season of a wounded spirit. Elisha, 16. No evidence of a wounded spirit. And he said to Elijah, "Let a double portion of thy spirit fall upon me." I was around the greatest Christian I've ever met. His name was Dr. Jack Hiles. The power of the Holy Spirit of God was upon him in a powerful way. Let me tell you something else. His spirit was healthy. He had a healthy spirit. Well, I'd like to get a double dose of that. A spirit. One that I'm responsible to God for keeping healthy. And so are you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to get born again. You need to get your spirit. You need to be born again. Your spirit needs to be born again. If you're not saved, we want you to get saved. If you're here tonight and you need this altar, I want you to come. If you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and never been baptized, you come. I believe all over this building, somebody needs to use the altar. You just need to come down here and say, "God, my spirit is damaged. I've got a sore spirit. There's something inside me. It is not right. I want to fix it." You get the CD, you listen to it over and over and over again. Don't walk away from here mad and you've got all this mental strategy going on inside you. Just let the Spirit of God do a work on you and change your life. Who here tonight would say, "Brother Owens, God spoke to my heart in a very specific way this evening"? And you'll raise your hand. There are hands all over the building. Don't you let that balcony stop you. Don't you let anything stop you. If you need the altar, you come tonight. I ask the instrumentalists.